Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believers City Church in Menominee. I'm Pastor Tim. I am lead preaching pastor here at Believers City Church. Each week we gather here to rewind our previous Sunday message. This time we do it in application and in small group discussion. So around Dunn County and beyond this evening, immediately after this broadcast, there are several small group gatherings that are together to discuss the application of this message as well as the Sunday message to their lives and to their world. If you're local, you are probably listening to 101.7 FM Street Level Radio. And if you're further away, you're probably tuned to our internet stream, maybe even our regional TV broadcast, but no matter how you got here, we're glad you did. Our last Sunday service was entitled Love, the Christian Manifesto, with a text from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Let's get into it. The Apostle John, throughout this letter, has been really pounding home this principle of love. And we're hearing it again and again, and we're going to get some more of it today. This principle, if you will serve as John's definitive line in the sand when it came to authentic faith. We may just not really know what love really is. I mean, I think few of us would consider that possibility. I think we all think we're in the know, let alone admitting that was a factual issue in our lives. So let us consider the question as we jump in. What is John talking about when he uses the word love, when he speaks here of love? Truth is, unless Eros is redeemed by the Lord's presence, we will eventually find that it has no real long-term redeeming aspects at all, because it ends up being solely possessive and solely selfish. We must understand, indeed, that God created a physical attraction between a man and a woman. Thank you, God, by the way. But he never intended it to be selfish. He never intended it to be about me. I am but a channel to channel that love to another. Now, for sure, this phileo love is a great relational dynamic. And certainly we live here in this fellowship to embrace such. But sadly, it is oftentimes also unreliable, because phileo can fail to encompass all the other aspects that are mandatory in community. You can come in and say, well, I'm just going to love everybody else, and then it'll let everything else, every other aspect, fall to the wayside. But this is a recipe. This is something that goes together. And like a recipe, these other attributes that I'm speaking of must be present in order for phileo not only to be authentic, but certainly enduring. And then thirdly, there is yet another, and that is agape. Certainly, if you are part of this church, you know the word. Many of us are familiar with the word. It's one of those Christianese words, agape love. This is the love that John is speaking of when he says in this chapter, verses 7 and 8, he says, everyone who loves is born of God. That's agape. Everyone who agape is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love, does not agape, does not know God, for God is agape. Those outside of true redemption, they know only at best Eros and phileo, with all of the shortcomings that those innately possess. Moreover, in such folks, their faith, as well as their love manifest, is ultimately controlled and determined and expressed by emotions. A lot of us, I think, this morning would be quick to say, I love people. But please, I want you to know before you jump into that how this reads. It says, he who does not agape does not know God, for God is agape. What is this defining
special love. What is this agape? What are the ingredients? Well, we're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, famously given the title of the love chapter. This is agape. That's the word in that chapter. Agape is patient and agape is kind. Agape is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Agape does not demand its own way. Agape is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. Agape does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Agape never gives up. Agape never loses faith. It is always hopeful. Thus, it endures through every circumstance. So, is that the love you are saying you possess?
A recent Gallup poll that was taken indicated that roughly 68% of Americans identify with the title Christian. Now, let's do the math. There are approximately 345 million people in the U.S. with approximately 370,000 Protestant and other Christian churches. So, with that math, albeit a rough number for sure, that would place an average of 635 people in every church in America that calls itself Christian. Yet the Hartford Institute poll says the average church attendance in America is 60. Clearly we have a polling issue here. For those numbers would give us about 22 million people. So somewhere out there are 215 million Christians hiding. And even if our math is way off, no addition and no subtraction can account for a miscalculation that is that large. Somebody is lying. And all of this assumes even that every individual that is in church, in a church, is actually an authentic born-again Christian. And we certainly know that that's not the case. For the Bible says his way is narrow. Who shall find it? The Apostle John has now come along and is clearly shaking the tree, if you will, to see what falls out. Because John apparently wasn't accepting those poll numbers. John knew, just as you and I know, just as you and I are being called to acknowledge the fact that there are just an enormous number of individuals that fancy themselves as Christians for, man, a multitude of reasons. Maybe because they've been to church once, or maybe because they live in America, or who knows what. But they are just flat out full of it. Matthew chapter 7 tells us a very different story. That passage tells us, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It goes on and says, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and we perform miracles in your name. But I'll reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. It goes on to say, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. And though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it as foolish, well, that person builds his house on the sand. And when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Well, there are certainly a number of issues, a number of telltale scenarios that may cause a doubt in someone's Christian testimony. John was saying that there was one that was the smoking gun, the concrete invalidation of one's profession of faith, and that is one's lack of the love manifest. Lack of authentic and genuine love for Creator, for Redeemer, for brother or sister in Christ. And if there is not the real thing in evidence therein, we are, according to the Apostle John, just a liar. Now, on Sunday, we sought to define the English word love from Scripture, and we looked at some of the original language meanings that we find there, all of those which are translated as love in our English-speaking Bibles. We covered eros. That speaks of the sexual and physical love. We discussed phileo, or rather brotherly love, the kind we express towards our brothers and our sisters in the body of believers, both our body of believers as well as the larger corporate body of believers, I might add. Then finally, we covered agape love, that special love that God exercises towards us and we're called to exercise towards Him. It is a greater love that we are called to exercise in all of our life's situations. Now, John says that if we are reborn, we are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then we have access to the attributes of God. We begin then to emulate the character of God, which innately is made up of agape love. If God is in us, we will agape love. If He's not, we will never be able to love in such a manner. Now, a lot of folks are going to try. A lot of folks have tried. And they will manifest a feigned facsimile, if you will, for a period. But he or she will never be able to manifest that love continually and faithfully over the long haul. And we've seen it. Ultimately, eventually, they crash and burn. This agape love encompasses attributes that a lot of folks simply reject, and therefore it fails to be agape. It fails to be agape. And that lack of agape love says much concerning our faith, or therefore the lack thereof. John speaks of the truth. Of a truth that is a must, a truth that is included in the exercise of this love, as well as the discipline of the father towards a child, the discipline, again, that most of us will reject. These are just a couple of those recipe attributes that go along naturally and innately with agape. Yet Scripture tells us that these things, like this discipline, that this discipline is not only a righteous thing, but moreover a necessity, that we are King's kids, and therefore He's dad, and He's in charge of the discipline. Hebrews 12 reminds us that, quote, our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best that they know how, but God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in His holiness. He goes on and says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Hebrews 12, 10 through 11. But gang, many of us, we're never going to know. We're never going to experience. We're never going to manifest this thing called agape because we reject the rest of the recipe, the things like the truth. We reject things like discipline. So you see, this version of love, well, indeed, it's not always going to be pleasant to the flesh. And we can push it away. We can reject it. Indeed, it's a difficult sell in the day in which we live, because love today is thought to be eminently pleasant and certainly pleasurable. But gang, that's not agape. That's not God's love. That's the world's vision. And it's a version that's based on feelings and emotions and certainly the flesh. That's where we run into issues with the unredeemed as Christians, because they often will cry foul. They'll say, well, you Christians, you're not practicing love towards me. And what they mean,
And they may not know this because they don't understand agape. And what they mean is that we're not practicing the world's version of love towards them. And that is true. We are absolutely guilty of that accusation. But God is not loving them with that version either. So I think we're on safe ground. We are to love indeed. But we are to love with the love of God. Agape. And if we fail to love with that love, well, we're not true Christians at all.